We've got another goodie for you today. You can expect to hear from Martin Kasten. He's the Director of Analytics and Controlling at the very well-established Koro. They're the Berlin-based healthy, sustainable, and ethical food startup. But today, Martin brings his wealth of data leadership to talk about three key areas that he believes will make the difference between success and failure of your entire data value proposition. Get ready to take notes and, of course, enjoy. In your experience, what are some of the common signs that an analytics team might not be delivering value to the business?
So I guess there are a couple of like different aspects that directly come to mind. I think the first one being the team kind of like delivers a lot of reports, a lot of dashboards, a lot of data, and feels like, have people actually read it? So it's kind of like you're sending out a report with a clear recommendation, and you're sitting in the next meeting, and the business decides the complete opposite of what you had proposed the last time. And I think that was, for me, sometimes very much the clear sign of something is broken in the relationship here. And that ultimately gives very much like the analytics team the feeling of being without a purpose, without clear impact, and ultimately also getting very much exhausted. So I think that are typical signs that are also coming up because you do a lot of things and you don't feel like they are being taken into account.
There quite commonly seems to be a breakdown, or I hear common breakdowns in communication where stakeholders have asked their data representative to generate a number of reports for them, and then the data teams spend all this time generating the reports, and then they never get reviewed, and that's a big frustration. Okay, so hopefully we're going to challenge these breakdowns today. I understand that you want to talk about making analytics the strategic partner to the business. Tell me what you mean by this.
Very happy to. It's a topic very, very dear to my heart, I must say, because I've also been in various organizations in different kind of like sizes, so from really large scale companies to like more smaller startups. But I've never seen a company that wouldn't say, hey, we don't want to be data driven. Everyone wants to be data driven today. But the question is actually, what does that really mean to be data driven? And for me, it's very often that people today talk a lot about all of these innovations, the disruptions that are there. So AI is everywhere on the sphere, like machine learning, algorithms, whatever you can think about there. And I mean, it's amazing technology and really important things that we need to get going. But very often I feel organizations tend to forget about the foundation that you actually need to lay first to really be data driven before you can also embark into all of these innovations. And I really feel it's about answering the question of how do you really connect your business with the data that you actually have? And to me, that's the main task that any analytics controlling data team out there, and especially their leadership have. Because like, as I mentioned before, like these teams sometimes tend to struggle of like being heard and understood by the business. They create a lot of things and decisions are not being taken based on them. And that's the foundation that you need to lie first. And it's a key challenge that is sometimes ignored because everyone wants to have these lovely lighthouse projects that you can put out there. On your website or on your company presentation of we are doing this and this with AI and whatsoever, but there's many more things that you need to do right first, I feel.
You mentioned data team members, data teams, and data leadership. You also talk about how businesses are flagging themselves as being data driven. I wonder, to make these effective connections, where does the accountability sit? And therefore, who are we talking to today?
Ultimately, the accountability lies with both sides, right? It's, as I said, it's like a partnership and it's like a relationship. Like every human relationship, you need to make an effort from both angles to really make it work. So accountable are on different aspects, I think, like both parties. But ultimately, of course, as an analytics team, and maybe that's a bit more the focus and the angle that we can talk about today, of course, have a large portion on their side to need to, that they need to get right first. But I will also sometimes like touch upon a couple of things that are more than tackling the business aspect. So it's not that easy that you can say it's like one of the two sides, right? It's always both parties need to do their bit.
Very much so. Very much so. Data is in the fore of businesses' interest these days. So, you know, there's a lot of demand for data like there wasn't maybe 5 to 10 years ago. So I wonder if that has shifted the accountability on bridging this partnership. With this partnership, what areas would you like to focus in on today? What areas have you noticed to be of key interest or key significance within a business?
Yeah. So if I think about these areas, it's a bit less to me, like I try, again, coming from the more partnership relationship angle, to not focus too much on the functional aspects that might be behind around timing and things like this. They are a part of it, but I feel it's more really the topics that are a little bit softer, so to say. And here I would mention three of them in the end. It's trust, it's focus, and it's collaboration. And all of them are interconnected. And, you know, if we would not be in a podcast, but in a presentation, I would show these lovely, lovely chart where you have like three bubbles that are all interconnected and that work together,
right?
Instead
the,
of it,
the
like
Venn diagram.
Process, you know, it's not so much like of you need to do step one, two, three, but it's kind of like they work together and they flow together. And quickly touching upon them before we might go a little bit more into detail, but it's around trust is really the right mindset. You need to have the right org structure, right people, the right skills that is there, but ultimately really people that want to also make this relationship work on both sides, as I said, and coming a bit back to the accountability topic. When we talk about focus, it's really much more about like, what is your actual business strategy? What's the direction that you want to take? And how can you create the proper solution that works in this context? And when it comes to collaboration, that's of course like really cross-dependent, but it's really an effort to understand each other and also to contextualize what each other sees. So the business typically has certain insights that ultimately an analytics person never has, because they are not talking to the final client, to the final customer, to the supplier. So it's like all of these aspects that need to be shared of like, what is actually behind, what could be constraints for people to understand, and vice versa. Like an analyst can create the best model, right? The best forecast. If ultimately the person on the other side doesn't know how to handle it, how to read it, you will never get the right decisions out of that. So that's why I feel it's those three aspects that we really need to nail to ultimately have a strong relationship between the two parties.
Great. This partnership in crime and partnership in kind. Soft, yes, but specific also. Trust, focus, collaboration. So certainly we'll focus on those. Taking trust first then, what I might ask, is there a blueprint that you have followed in your various leadership positions that specifically addresses these areas?
I wouldn't say that it's clear kind of like blueprint that I have in mind, but it's more like when I'm going into a new role, I try to really just get an overview first and try to figure out like, what is there? What are people focusing on? What do they work with? What do they use ultimately? And I mean, now that I've just recently joined Co on that side, I mean, I'm 3 months in, that ultimately I'm really still in this kind of like journey of identifying these steps. And it was similar when I was formerly, for example, at Zalando, that in all of these aspects, you first need to notice of like, what is the actual business problem that we want to solve? And I mean, that touches really upon the topic of like focus. But then it's also always like, what are the people that we have on board? Like, what's the team that is there? Do we need to build it? Is there already a team that is in place, people that work together, and how are they working together? And then it's really a lot about these structural like trust points. And what I really try to focus on in the first couple of weeks in every role was understanding the other party that we are working for as a data analytics team, and then trying to come up with a couple of like quick wins and solutions, how we can help them so that the other side really gets the feeling we are there to help and we are not there to kind of like take something away. And I think that is really a crucial aspect that I always try to follow first. And then from there on, once you have this trust gained, that people feel like, hey, I really like to work with that person, with that party together, because I feel they give me something that I haven't had before. And now I can take a much better decision than I previously could. And once you have reached this little tick mark, I feel then it's so easy to implement the right processes and workflows to make it work.
Fantastic. So it seems like rather than a blueprint, there's a mindset and approach that both leaders and team members can take. And also, this isn't something that is necessarily applied throughout your role, but in you taking on new leadership positions, it's something that a leader can think about from the outset: trust, focus, and collaboration. Okay, so talk to me about trust then. What have you noticed from a leadership perspective that could help to bridge that partnership from a trust perspective?
So again, here, there are a couple of different aspects that I feel we can touch upon. The first part, I will keep a little bit brief because it's a whole topic on its own that we could likely do two more podcasts on top of this, which is a topic of like org structure. Of course, in the beginning, it's really your structure needs to follow your strategy. I mean, we all know that kind of like saying, but it's really figuring out what works for your organization and how should a setup look like, especially when it comes to data and analytics teams. I've seen various setups and throughout my career, from very centralized setups to ultimately fully embedded or like matrix organizations. It ultimately comes down to like, how do you work? How are your workflows? What are your people also used to? What is the culture that you also want to really create in your company? And what's therefore like the trade-offs that you need to take? Sometimes you really need speed and just like fast decisions. And then maybe an embedded setup can make a lot of sense. Sometimes you rather want to make sure that you first create consistency in the data structure that you have, and then maybe you need a bit more of a centralized setup. But I think those are a couple of questions you need to ask yourself first. When this is clear, I think then it's really key about finding the right team and the right people. And then we are in the area of hiring. And hiring, to me, I mean, has always been one of the most crucial aspects that you need to do right as a leader. You need to get the right people for this structure, for this organization that you have. And it's really about finding for yourself also the right interview setups. I mean, it's important that you know what are your own personal blind spots, for example. So what are things that you typically don't see in an interview, and find the right person that can see those blind spots and take them with you on this interview journey, because then you really make sure that you cover the full profile of what could also be a certain kind of like risk that might be in there, or like things that you do not see. And also, and I think here for me, it tackles upon the topic of trust again. Maybe some of you also, and from the listeners, know the whole Simon Sinek version of like trust and performance, right? I mean, when he talks about the Navy SEALs as the highest performing organization, or one of the highest performing organizations in the world, and it's about everyone wants high trust, high performance. Nobody wants low trust, low performance. But in case of doubt, do you actually first go for high trust and low performance, or high performance versus low trust? And ultimately, his finding was that each of the really, really strong organizations on this planet actually go for high trust over high performance. And that is really because if you have this mindset for the collaboration, if you really trust someone with the task that you need to give them, then it's really the thing that you can work from. And then performance, or like knowledge, experience that you have, it's more about then identifying, of course, in an organizational context, also the right talents that you can develop. They might not know everything from day one, but that's not necessarily what you must have when they already have the right mindset. And I think with those two aspects, you have like really two cornerstones. You have the right structure, you get the right people on board, and then it's about building the relationship. And that takes a lot of time, right? So there are many aspects that you can do wrong, but also many things that you can do right there. But it's really about being honest, being active in the beginning of like approaching your business stakeholders very actively. And as I mentioned before, like really showing them that you want to help them with the challenges that they have and that you deeply care. And here, just one example that I had from my past was at H&M when I was working abroad in Stockholm. I was actually part of the buying teams, and we had the production team sitting very often like in the Asian regions with all the different factories and so on that you have there. It was a remote connection and you need to make it work. And ultimately, very often the production team is about consistency, getting things like in the right kind of set, rather producing 100 units every day in the same form and optimizing that process. A buying team that knows that, especially in the area of fashion, things are like frequently has like different trends. One thing that might be important today is not so important anymore tomorrow. So you need speed, you need flexibility for decision-making. So the buying teams very often went to the production side and just like, hey, can you give us like more speed, more flexibility in the production? They're like, we have tight hands here, it doesn't work. And then everyone was like, oh, okay, again, same question. We don't even need to ask once more. And when I heard about this, I was like, did anyone ever ask the question what they actually need from us to make that work? And that changed completely the whole perspective. So I ultimately really just like changed all of this by going into the production team and asking them, okay, we want flexibility, we want speed. What do I need to deliver to you so that you can make it work? And if you show that mindset, the other side will see, okay, they really care. They want to know what I also need. And like this, you can make it really mutual. And then
the opportunity to build trust as well.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly the point. So, yeah.
Okay. In summary, I took from that structure follows strategy, of course, irrespective of what structure you follow, be it embedded, centralized or hybrid, this culture of trust is a key facilitator to a partnership. Hiring, very important, hiring the right people, and also the setup of interviews, having the right people on board to identify those blind spots. And then Simon Sinek, trust over performance seems to be the contributing factor to success, globally speaking. Performance will follow trust. Fantastic. Okay. Next one in focus will be focus. What do you mean by this?
Focus ultimately is a lot about like the business strategy and understanding what has to be built. So from the analytics perspective, here it's key that, I mean, you need to sit down and talk to the business and understand like, what are our key objectives? What are our key results that we need to drive? And not just like going in and maybe hearing the fancy storyline of like any company presentation on your welcome day and then assuming of like, I know what has to be built, but more going into the in-depth questions of like asking, hey, what is it really about? So when people talk about customer retention, what does it mean to you? So what is the key thing that we actually need to overcome and the number that you need from us? Because I've very often also seen that people talk about, yeah, we need to deepen customer relationships. And then ultimately all everyone looks at is like new customers and like the customer acquisition costs. And then you wonder like, hey, but this is not like retention. It's ultimately the complete opposite. It's just the start of the journey, but it's not the journey in itself. So what you rather then look at is, and this may be more from a little deep dive on the analytical side, is that when people talk about like retention, CLV, typically like metrics that many businesses look at, it's very often less about the first purchase, but more the second, third, or fourth purchase that you need to figure out. And if you have those, you will identify the point after which the churn probability is so low that when the customer gets to this one order, you know that they are rather loyal and they stick to your business. So figure out this one number and then put this key on your dashboard and measure this every day. And this now is something that we are doing on the Koro side. It's something that I've seen working also at Zalando really well. It's those type of things that you just need to identify what is a really key event in the journey of a customer to get it right. and focus on this strategy aspect and the customer side, and really build your analytics around it. And I think once you know what this direction is, you can then start to break it down and go into the different aspects. But what you also really, really need to be willing to do, maybe a last point and then handing back to you for some questions, is like be able to ignore data. Like as of today, I think every company has way too much data and you sometimes don't even know in the forest of data, like where to look for. If you put your dashboard full with like the, I don't know how many memes are out there that show exactly these kind of lovely cartoons. Yeah. You know, what is this one metric that goes down? It's the level of our standing with every metric that we put on top of it. It's really, really true. And you tend to forget those things, but it's much more like be willing to ignore some parts and just focus on what is really key and what is important for the business.
That's a business mindset, right? Getting out of your own data head for a moment and focusing on business needs. And within focus, then, it strikes me, like I've just said, the data professional needs to get in the business mindset. How are they able to do so? And does that swiftly lead us to our next point of collaboration? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, very, very much so. No, I mean, it's a key of like understanding and the contextualization, as I mentioned before. And I guess I can really just directly go into the topic of collaboration that, as you rightly said, it's directly leading over, because collaboration, again, is a little bit the part of like building this relationship that takes a lot of time. And you always have different aspects in there. You first need to start your journey of this collaboration. So identify quick wins, do some key deliverables, like things that are really crucial, again, for your business strategy, and then expand into the details later on. Because if you directly jump into a detailed problem statement, you might get lost in this thing and your impact on the business is 0.1%. Well, if you solve something different, it can be much bigger than that. It's really a lot about, second, after you've started this journey, more on continuous explanation and really creating processes, rhythms with which you frequently catch up and discuss the various aspects that might be there, and create forums in which you can discuss those. So something that we are introducing right now in my current company is like a so-called business review process. So it's really a lot about having a frequent forum with the key decision makers that operationally like steer the business, and understanding like what are maybe the top 10, 15 metrics that we look at, and what is key in the steering of and the decision making for us. What can we change also short term, because there might be a lot of other very important KPIs that, though on a weekly basis, maybe doesn't make sense, but maybe more on a monthly or on a quarterly basis to review, and identifying also these steps and these rhythms in which you review things, and have a forum where the data team prepares everything, but also gets really in touch with the business to discuss of, hey, we have observed an anomaly here. What was going on there? What happened? So that you build this understanding also of, I know that if something goes up or if a graph goes down in whatever direction, like what could be the reason for it? And the next time I can check for that reason myself. I already know it. And I mean, maybe 80% of those things I can anticipate, and like this enrich my forecasting in the future and so on. And really having therefore this learning mindset of knowing those things. And the final part in this whole collaboration topic is then, how do you enable the business and get them excited about data? Because it's for the business itself to become like more data driven and find some solutions and some ways in which they really engage with the data themselves, and where they do not just get the output and then take a decision on that, but forget about the outputs quickly. And also here, one example that I can provide from the past was when working with marketing teams on the marketing analytics side. I mean, marketeers very often, I mean, they are used to data, but more like survey data and so on. And sometimes they're a bit afraid of like, okay, if I look into too much data, they take away my budget because there's something that I cannot explain. And there's always a bit of a fear of this, but we were trying to turn this around. So what we created we called it like an budget that we had free to spend on things. So we called it the Open to Spend Forum. And everyone in the organization was ultimately there to bring up ideas. So we had prepared a one pager that followed the strategy, like what does a tick box on our brand strategy and our company strategy? What are the key metrics that we can improve with this? But what is maybe an out of the box idea that we never thought of? And everyone in the marketing team could bring up those ideas, bring them to the leadership to review, ask questions of like, is this a valid proposal? And people really started to think about like things that we would have never come up with in any planning process on the world. So that was quite fun because it really got people engaged into it to think about the strategy, think about the metrics, but also still feel like, hey, I'm contributing to something and that is in my hand to do it right.
And maybe free and undistracted or unhindered, unencumbered to be able to contribute in that way, because quite often both data and business people are going to be bogged down in their day-to-day work that they might not have the sense to step outside, go aerial and be able to think creatively. And that actually makes me want to ask the question. You talked about developing a rhythm of catch-ups and even a forum and having regular reviews of stakeholders. Is that the reality for many businesses? Many businesses that say, we're struggling to make profitability and we don't have the time for all these luxuries.
Yeah. I would say it's probably not the reality for all of the businesses, but I think for all the, I think I had the luxury to be part of many successful businesses already. I've seen that it works and that it is a focus. So everything, if you really make, for example, in your example that you're giving, profitability a focus, there would be a frequent touch point where you look into this. And I mean, back then when COVID hit, I think every business was challenged to really rethink a lot of things that they were doing. And what we at my time back then in Zalando really did was like form a group of, let's say, the key decision makers in certain areas, bring them together and everyone brings up like, what are the risks that we see? What are though also things that we control ourselves that we can move the needle quite fast? And that was one of the examples where I would really say that also an analytical framework that we created before really paid off, because it was about return on invest steering and marketing. And we created a handle that was that flexible that we could say, okay, now, right now, the main focus of the company is about business continuity in the short term and not the long-term success. So maybe for a couple of weeks, we traded off the long-term CLV over like short-term business success. And we had a great steering vehicle to decide this. And it was an amazing proof point for analytical work that worked like a charm in harmonization with the business goals that you had and that were changing from one day to another. And 3 weeks later back, because then everyone understood, hey, actually for e-commerce, that's a huge chance. Mm-hmm. And then you could focus much more on the long-term game again. But we had the flexibility to do so. And I think it's really crucial that you create these options.
Yeah. That case in point, just a final note on it, is also it paves the way for that whole trust, focus, and collaboration.
Yeah.
In closing on the topic, what could data leaders do today to improve the situation and bring about focus, trust, and collaboration?
Yeah. I mean, I just noticed how quickly like 30 minutes are like going over again. So once you're in it, you know, you don't even feel it so much. No, but to your question, I mean, the recommendations that I would have there is like, really, first of all, quite simple, review your status quo, right? Do you have already the right setup for your strategy? Do you have the right mindset in your teams? And maybe also, of course, then go a step deeper. Like there might be some relationships, some people where our teams where it works really, really well. And what are these strong examples and what do you take from it? And why does it work there? And in other areas, why does it not work so much? And then you find the differences of like the way how people work or like the frequency in which they touch base. And then take those learnings. And afterwards, of course, try to think about like, how do I correct this ultimately? Like, what do I learn from these like well-functioning relationships? And how can I scale those even more in the future? And also, how can I create, again, these like more structured processes and forums in which I enable people to do this on a continuous basis without, let's say, one leader being ultimately the bottleneck, because that also doesn't work. You need to find like scalable solutions, especially in a bigger scale. And I think if you do this right, there's a lot of like positive effects that are coming out of this, right? I mean, you have you create a very resilient setup for organizational changes. You get good proof points maybe for your next FTE discussion that you might have also, because things you deliver as a value and you can scale an analytical foundation. I think talent development is something that really scales with this quite nicely, because with the mindset that you develop that you can use in every function, doesn't need to be a data function ultimately. And there might be business opportunities that you see that you didn't even dream of before. And right now they're coming out of the process, because suddenly people work with data that haven't used it before, that didn't even know that it's so easy to maybe use it as well.
Mm-hmm. Martin, nuggets of information throughout. And I think you were just going to extrapolate more benefits, from taking this approach. If other leaders and data team members are interested, where can they find out more about you and the work that you're doing?
So, yeah, I mean, if anyone wants to get in touch, feel free to approach me via LinkedIn. I think you'll find my profile there. I guess that's the easiest way to get in touch, and then happy to brainstorm about a couple of things and like have a frequent touch base on this one. So,
super.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I look forward to that same brainstorming session as well.
Thanks so much.
Cheers, Martin. See you next time.
Ciao, ciao.